We have a serious health crisis. Before we get to the solutions, let's start with Chris Rock. Out of all people, yes, Chris Rock, and then we'll go into our topic with our special guest. Let's go ahead, take it to Chris.
You know why I like doctors? Because they don't cure nothing. Same disease has been hanging out since I was a kid. It ain't sick of cells, tuberculosis, cancer, Jerry's kids still limping around. That's right, we got AIDS out there. You think they're going to cure AIDS?
No.
They can't even cure athlete's foot. They cure that because ain't no money in the cure. The money's in the medicine. That's how you get paid on the comeback. That's how a drug dealer makes his money on the comeback. A bunch of get drug dealers on the comeback. They ain't curing no AIDS.
Yo, good?
You all right? I mean, I'm okay. Kind of have a headache, though.
So? You good, man.
Mad, crazy, extra strength of lead, my dude. You good. Like 3,000 milligrams, yo.
3,000 milligrams? Is that even safe?
Is that Come safe? On, yo, how old are you, B? Yo, what you want, children's Tylenol?
Flintstones kids, nigga?
Okay, you're a doctor, so then you know that lead. Isn't it bad for, like, your stomach?
Only if you will.
Welcome to the Dean Show for another exciting episode. No stranger to the Dean Show, former chief nutritionist for Dr. Mercola.
At Jim, the Optimal Wellness Center.
Jim Marlowe, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Eddie. How are you?
I'm good, thank God. I'm happy to have you again in the Dean Show studio. How's everything? How's your health?
Thank you for inviting me back on the Dean Show, and my health is better than ever. How's your health?
Feeling good. We're just coming out of Ramadan. We were fasting, and I'm feeling really good. Thank God. It's good.
Glad to hear that.
So we want to pick your brain. We want to get some more data from you. And there's a very powerful documentary, and I want to ask you about that. You recommended for me to watch it. I watched it, and I also recommend it to other people. Why is it that you think that people should watch this documentary? It's the first part of a docuseries. It's called The Truth About Cancer, A Global Quest. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because you recommended that to me, and it was a real eye-opener.
Right.
And you recommend it to a lot of people, so maybe we can encourage more people to watch it. But why is it? What's so special about this documentary?
Well, this documentary, especially the first part of The Truth About Cancer, that is produced by Ty Bollinger and his people, it offers people some very valuable truth about what the medical establishment has to offer in regard to the treatment of various types of cancers that's beyond what most people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. In fact, what dominates in the mainstream about the treatments for cancer is it's a big part of the conventional medicine business model. And it's important to understand that conventional medicine is first and foremost, it's built on a business model. And so if you're interested in going beyond the medical establishment propaganda about what they have to offer, The Truth About Cancer series, especially the first episode, will give people a different perspective about the history and the value, or most of the time the lack of value, in taking conventional treatments such as the poisons that are euphemistically known as chemotherapy and radiation treatments and other conventional practices. And so it's always best to take the initiative to educate yourself beyond just what is mainstream. What's in mainstream, what dominates in the mainstream media is what is serving entrenched business interest. It's important to be awake to that. And so when you have very important decisions to make, doesn't it make sense that the better informed you are, the more likely you are to make the wisest decision for yourself? So That's what I have to say.
I like how you have a lot of scientists on there. You have researchers, you have doctors, PhDs. Mm-hmm. You have some very intellectual people on there. It's people who kind of think out the box also. And I like how it goes into the history. It goes into the history of allopathic medicine. He gives a synopsis in the beginning talking about, you know, how over 100 years ago, how it was all established. So you get a historical look at it. And many of the funders behind the AMA is really deep and profound. Yeah.
Yes, it attempts to answer a very important question, and that is, why are things the way they are? Why is it that the conventional medical establishment is so oriented toward drugs? And the propaganda about that has been, oh, this is the best that medical science has to offer, and you know, this is it's evidence-based medicine. I'd like to see some evidence-based medicine in regard to people taking four or more prescription drugs. There is no science supporting that's safe. You know, most of what is offered in regard to drug treatments, it's based on just taking that drug. There's a little bit of what you could call science having to do with two drugs, a little bit even less with three drugs, but there's virtually no science supporting that it's safe or effective for people to take four or more drugs, you know, commonly known as polypharmacy. I've known people over the years in my own family, you know, senior citizens that are on 15 different prescriptions.
15? Yeah, that's not
20.
That's not uncommon nowadays.
No, it's not. And where's the science supporting that's safe and effective?
But is it but if the argument comes in where now this is helping to prolong their lives, this is something that is it's helping to prolong their lives.
Maybe, but it's certainly not helping to improve the quality of their lives, because I have quite a bit of life experience, both family, friends, and people that I've worked with over the years, especially at the Optimal Wellness Center, when, because of the popularity of Dr. McCullough's website, we attracted a lot of seriously health-challenged people from all over the country. And so when it seems like the more drugs that people are taking, the lower the quality of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, there may be some exceptions to that, but I can't.
It's kind of like you turned me out also to Dr. Kelly Brogan. She says the same thing, that most of these drugs, if not a great number of them, they come at a cost.
Yes.
So you're healing one thing, or not even healing. I mean, because many people think that, okay, if you take this drug, that it's actually making the problem, the root problem, go away. But is that the truth?
No.
No?
No. There is no drug that's been developed that ultimately addresses the cause of a health problem, with the possible exception of insulin for type 1 insulin-dependent diabetic. But drugs were not designed to cure. They were designed to treat the symptoms.
Now, I'm noticing you're saying drug, not medicine. Is there a difference between medicine or drugs?
Well, let's,
the terms?
Medicine is a euphemism for synthetic chemicals that can be patented.
The drugs.
Yeah, drug.
Because I like to think that medicine has a healing effect. That's what you'd find in, you know, many of the natural herbs and these remedies.
Yes. Well, there was a great bit of wisdom, more than a bit of wisdom, a profound statement of wisdom from the ancient Greek physician 2,500 years ago, Hippocrates. The relevance of Hippocrates is to this day. Upon graduation from medical school, the graduates take what is called the Hippocratic Oath. Well, the Hippocratic Oath is primarily about first do no harm. Well, Hippocrates also made a profound statement that's of timeless value. In his day, he said, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. So that was true then, It's true now, but foods cannot be patented. And the driving force behind the conventional allopathic medical industry, as it was actually created by not a scientist, not a doctor, but by John D. Rockefeller and his people about 100 years or so ago, the driving force of that industry is to come up with unique chemical compounds that can be patented. You cannot patent a natural substance. You cannot patent an herb. You cannot patent a vitamin or a mineral. You can only patent unique chemical compounds. These unique chemical compounds that are then marketed to the public as medicines, as prescription drugs, they're totally foreign to the human body. But they are promoted by the mainstream medical establishment, which has authority status with the public. They're promoted as science-based, evidence-based medicine, and this is the best way to help people. Really? Really, it's the best way to help people to have them take foreign chemicals into their body that may be effective in inhibiting or stimulating some aspect of a person's biology to reduce a symptom, but because they're totally foreign chemicals to the human body, they always come along with what are commonly thought of as, or commonly referred to as, side effects. But I think that's a inaccurate way to think of it. They're not side effects when you get bad reactions to taking a foreign chemical into your body. They're direct effects from taking the foreign chemical into your body. They may not be the intended effect, but they're a direct effect of taking a foreign chemical into your body. And that's always a precarious thing to do. Now, there can be a place for taking prescription drugs, these foreign chemicals for the management of symptoms in the short run. But as you mentioned, Dr. Kelly Brogan, who's an MD, she specializes in holistic nutritional approaches to helping people overcome so-called psychiatric disorders, mental disorders, emotional disorders, and so she helps her patients with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder. She helps them actually rebalance themselves and actually helps to get them off of whatever drugs they may be on. And she basically teaches them how to eat healthier and live healthier so they can be healthier and free of depression and anxiety and other health problems. I mentioned this on a previous Dean show that the way we approached health problems at the Optimal Wellness Center was, rather than treating the symptoms of disease or dysfunction, rather than focusing on the person's specific medical diagnosis, we had a team approach, a very holistic approach to basically teaching people how to eat healthier and live healthier so they can be healthier. And I've mentioned this before, that what we really did for people was we taught them that really the best way to overcome what you could call the darkness of disease or dysfunction is to turn up the light of your inner health. Build your health.
So that's the solution now. So if you're,
it always has been.
That's the solution. So honor your body by putting the right foods in your body.
Putting the right real foods.
The right real foods. Okay, I'm sitting with the gastroenterologist.
Yeah.
And we're having a talk, and I'm talking to him about this really simple concept about just going back to eating real food.
Right.
As you brilliantly have put it, that real food comes with a list of ingredients that real ingredients, not a list of ingredients that are toxic chemicals, maybe put in there for a longer shelf life and whatnot. And he was talking about that. Well, what's wrong with potato chips? They come from a potato. I wish you were there. It was interesting. It was a real short conversation because then we got split apart. But then he said, okay, ice cream, it comes from dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with ice cream? Mm-hmm. How would you have dressed that? So potato chips, let's go with those two. Potato chips, and for mm-hmm. the average, and this is a doctor. So now mm-hmm. he's saying something that logically to him probably makes sense to a lot of people. Okay, potato mm-hmm. chips come from a potato.
Yeah.
Potato is real food, but now right. you got the potato chip.
Yeah.
And then ice cream is coming from dairy. It comes from the cow. What's wrong with ice cream?
Yeah. Well, the potato to make potato chips goes through a lot of processing, and to just keep it simple, the nutritional value of what's in the potato in the process of making it a potato chip is seriously damaged, and it's adulterated. You're actually subtracting nutritional value from the potato as you're processing it to make potato chips, and then you're actually adulterating it by adding things to it. Like MSG, very likely, or some type of preservative,
mm-hmm.
Chemical preservative that is only going to be another burden to the body's toxic assault from living in the modern world. Same thing with ice cream, you know? Yeah, when the cream was fresh, raw cream, if it was from a healthy animal, that's real food. That's real nutrition. But when you take the ice cream and then you adulterate it by, you know, adding sugar to it, an artificial or even so-called natural flavorings. Natural flavorings are often an industry, processed food industry code word for MSG.
For people that don't know, what is actually MSG? What is that?
It stands for monosodium glutamate, and it's highly prized by the commercial processed food industry because it's a taste bud exciter. It stimulates the taste bud, so it can make poor quality food taste better, and that's what is being used in the commercial processed food industry. They're not using high quality food. They're using very low quality, poor quality food. They don't care about the quality of food because they know that their food chemist can make anything taste good. By using chemical additives that are often listed as natural flavors on processed foods, like MSG not only excites the taste buds, a lot of people may know that, but I think very few people understand that MSG also has addictive qualities to it. So when someone opens up that bag of potato chips that has salt, but also it has, natural flavoring on it. Now, not always, but it could be that natural flavoring is actually MSG. And so when someone opens up that bag of potato chips and they start eating it, they have one, and then they want another one, and another one, and another one. The average American consumer doesn't begin to understand how their eating behavior has been and continues to be manipulated through chemistry. That behavior of just having one potato chip after another until the whole bag is gone, that eating behavior has been chemically imparted into the food.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to restate something I said on my very first appearance of the Dean Show several years ago now, and this is always something to keep in mind. It's my simplest and most basic teaching on nutrition, and it's always relevant, and that is, if you want to be real healthy, then eat real food, and real food is simple food that does not come with a label, with a list of ingredients. The more labels you're reading, the more you're actually making, to put it kindly, less than the best choices. But you know, more labels you're reading, you're going down the wrong path.
Yeah.
So you know, all of the best, most wholesome, nourishing, real food, it doesn't come with a label, with a list of ingredients. I'm talking about fresh meats, especially from properly raised, healthy animals. You know, the halal meats and also eggs and dairy products from healthy animals, and also fresh whole vegetable and fruit nutrition. I would encourage everybody, wherever they are listening, to take advantage of the farmers markets in your area. The more fresh, locally grown food you eat, the better that is going to be for your health. The fresher your food, the better. And ideally, it'd be great if it's organically grown, certified organic. But if it's not, talk to the people at the farm stand. Talk to the farmer if he's there and ask them about their growing methods. There's a lot of farmers who use organic practices, but they're not certified organic because the USDA organic certification, like the government tends to do with everything, has become an increasingly bureaucratic and expensive process. And I know some farmers who are they're using even beyond organic farming practices, but they're not certified organic because they just don't want to go along with the government bureaucratic procedure. And there are some other certifications that are worthwhile, like certified naturally grown. Certified naturally grown is kind of more of a grassroots level, mostly run by farmers and and people who are working without government involvement.
So what I've seen, the pattern here is like you make these adjustments. And you start eating real food, these lifestyle shifts and changes, the quality of life gets better. And you start living better. You talk often about the brain fog, energy levels, all of these things that help for a better quality of life. And actually, Dr. Kelly Brogan and others, you mentioned another doctor. Was it Dr. Weinstein, was it? Or some
Dr. Brownstein?
Brownstein. Yeah. Many of them, just like her, who testify that they were getting to a point falling into despair almost because they felt like they weren't helping people. They weren't really solving the people's problems. But when they started to help people in this way with lifestyle changes, adjustments, checking how people are sleeping, what they're eating, quality of life started to really get better. Yeah. And they had to go out of the box because, you know, conventional medicine doesn't teach these things. So they're restricted to just the drugs.
Right. A simple way to put that is Dr. David Brownstein, Dr. Kelly Brogan, Dr. Jonathan Wright, Dr. Mercola, when he was doing his good doctoring, when he was still seeing patients a long time ago, what they were doing was they were working with a person's biology rather than manipulating it with foreign chemicals that can be patented. You know, that has been and continues to be the driving force of the conventional medical establishment. It certainly is the driving force for the pharmaceutical industry to come up with unique chemical compounds that can be patented. Because once you have a patent on something, you can make a lot more money than something that you can't get a patent on. Like you can't patent natural vitamins and minerals and amino acids and essential fatty acids. No natural substance can be patented.
Uh-huh. So, what do you know about these stem cells therapy? Do you know anything about that?
Well, no, I don't know much about that, Eddie. But I do know that our body naturally produces its own stem cells that are involved, that our body draws upon when we have some type of injury, and our body uses these stem cells to help repair tissue, to help regenerate any type of damage, including stem cells are used by our body on a day-to-day basis, just for normal, ongoing maintenance of the human body. You know, part of the dynamic of our biology is there are old cells being kind of sloughed off every day. You know, old cells are being replaced with newer cells on an ongoing basis. This is, certainly true with our red blood cells. Your body's making new red blood cells every day, making new white blood cells every day. Certain cells in our body, like our skin cells, our epithelial cells that line the interior of our body, but also the exterior of our body, they are being replaced every few days. For instance, just a simple example that everybody may relate to is like if you accidentally bite your tongue or bite the inside of your cheek, and sure, it hurts a lot. But if you're healthy and well nourished enough, that'll completely heal With some people, like the last time I accidentally bit my tongue, it was completely healed within a few hours. Now, you know, someone else, it may take a little bit longer, but it heals very, very rapidly. The body does have a God-given innate intelligence and capability to know how to heal, to know how to be healthy. The direction of our life force energy is always toward healing and health. If you cut yourself, it heals. You don't even have to think about it. It could help if you actually gave some conscious attention to it. Certainly wouldn't hurt, but you don't have to. We do have this God-given innate intelligence and capability to know how to be healthy. Our body wants to be healthy. The body's always trying to be healthy. But the health is not realized magically. We need to get our nutrition and the other fundamentals of self-care, of life, right enough. For instance, there's no substitute for a good night's sleep. And if you're off balance, if you're not feeling very well, if you're tired, if you're just not feeling right, then the earlier you can get to bed before midnight, the better that will be for helping your body to rebalance. The sleep issue is not just a quantity issue, how much you sleep. It's also a quality issue, and the quality issue has a lot to do with when you go to sleep. There's an old naturopathic understanding, goes back at least 100 years, possibly longer than that, but it goes like this. Every hour of sleep before midnight is worth at least 2 hours of sleep after midnight. And I try to bring this to life for people in a practical way by, you know, asking them just from your own life experience, you know, have you ever gone to bed, you know, say at 1 o'clock in the morning and then, you know, slept 8 hours and gotten up at 9? Almost everybody will say, yeah, I've had that experience, you know, stay up late, go to bed at 1, get up at 9. Okay, now that's 8 hours of sleep. Does that feel the same as going to bed at, say, 10 o'clock and getting up at 6? And without exception, everybody says going to bed at 10 and getting up at 6 feels better. Is that true for you, Eddie?
It is for me also.
True for me. It's true for everybody. That's just one example of what I'm saying here about the earlier you go to bed before midnight, the better that is for supporting your body's ability to repair, regenerate, you know, heal, rebalance, restore endocrine function. So if someone is off balance, and their body is in need of some serious repair, regeneration, healing work. I've recommended to people, you know, go to bed ideally no later than like 7:30. You know, the earlier you can go to bed before midnight, that's practical for your lifestyle, mm-hmm. the better it is for supporting your body's ability to heal. But there is no substitute for a good night's sleep. And a good night's sleep is largely determined by when you go to bed, as well as, you know, sleeping a sufficient quantity of time.
So we're talking about lifestyle changes. I also had another person who's a pioneer out there trying to educate people. She's a holistic doctor, Dr. Saeed Madiha. Mm-hmm. She links a lot of the ailments, you know, with this bad food, and then it triggers inflammation in the body. Mm-hmm. And then the inflammation from there, you start having many of these chronic issues. Yeah. Now, how do you go ahead? So we're talking about drugs. These drugs, they manage some symptoms, but they come at a cost. Mm-hmm. And you could be taking one drug that's not actually getting to the root of the problem. We're trying to get to the root of the problem by adjusting your lifestyle, cutting out certain toxic foods, incorporating good foods.
Yeah.
Now, how do you determine from there, Jim, where, okay, like for instance, we just had a tragic situation with my father who got hit by a van. He wasn't in the van, he was walking, got hit by the van. Mm-hmm. So now ambulance comes, now that's a trauma situation. Then they take the CAT scans, mm-hmm. make sure, you know, he's not bleeding from the head and all this. So how do you determine, okay, that's in this situation versus now for, where do you determine, you know, where it's effective, where it's not so effective, the urgent medical care?
The conventional medical establishment is at their best in urgent care, immediate care.
Like this situation with my father.
Yeah.
That's where they function the best.
Trauma care.
A trauma situation.
You know, the more serious someone's injury, you know, the more they can be helped by the conventional medical establishment. 90% of medical treatment in the country, though, is for chronic problems. You know, not acute problems, not accidents. You know, just give or take a few percentage points on that number. But the vast majority of medical care that people seek out is not for acute problems. It's for chronic problems that are ultimately related to people not nourishing themselves properly, too much stress in their lives, not getting enough sleep, not getting their self-care like they need to get it in order to realize a good level of health. So in regard to your father, unfortunately, being injured like this, that's going to be a big stress on his biology. It has been a big stress on his biology. And the more stress on our biology, the more important nutrition is to support the body's ability to heal, to repair, to rebalance. And so the better your father's nutrition, the better his recovery will be, Eddie. But I certainly appreciate that there is a place for your father right now for medical treatment, and hopefully they're giving him the very best care that they're capable of giving him. Mm-hmm. Eddie, I'd like to add one other thing in regard to drugs never addressing the cause of health problems, with the possible exception of insulin for a insulin-dependent diabetic, and that's the issue with antibiotics. Now, someone may say, well, antibiotics are addressing the cause because they're killing germs. Yes, they are, but we have an immune system, and our immune system, if it's functioning properly because we're getting our nutrition good and we're getting the rest of our self-care practices well enough. If you have a healthy immune system, that is your best defense against infections. And so when someone takes an antibiotic for infection, I can understand that it can seem like, well, that's the best thing to do in the short run. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people who actually are in their health is such that they need that type of treatment because they don't have a healthy immune system. But when you are taking antibiotics because your immune system was too weak to take care of some type of germ you got exposed to, the antibiotics, they don't strengthen your immune system. In fact, antibiotics can further weaken your immune system and actually set you up for recurrent infections, which we had a lot of this of people at the Optimal Wellness Center often had history of ongoing antibiotic usage for recurrent infections, sinus infections, respiratory infections, bladder infections. And it was an ongoing thing. They were like on a treadmill of needing antibiotics on an ongoing basis because they were not actually strengthening their immune system, and ultimately they weren't addressing the cause of why they developed the infection in the first place. Their immune system was compromised.
Yeah.
And so we do have a God-given innate intelligence and capability to be healthy, but we need to take care of ourselves properly. Mm-hmm. You need to honor your body with the best quality food that is available to you and be attentive to the other fundamentals of self-care, you know, which are, number one, actually is breathing. I personally don't miss a day of breathing exercise. Number two, the quality and quantity of water that you're drinking. Of course, that's a fundamental influence on everybody's health because our body is mostly water. And then, of course, food. We spend most of our time talking about food, but that's
eating real food, avoiding fake food.
That's right. But, food is actually of third importance. You know, if you had to, during Ramadan especially, if you had to, you could go long periods of time without eating. Go weeks without food if you wanted to. It might not be a very pleasant experience, but The human body can go weeks without food. We can go days without water. How long can we go without breathing? If you're really good at holding your breath, you know, maybe a little more than a few minutes, but mm-hmm. most people, you know, can't even hold their breath for a minute. But any type of breathing exercise you know to do that helps you to feel good while you're doing it, prioritize putting time into that every day. You can improve the quality of your breath if you give some focused attention to doing conscious breathing exercise. But the other fundamentals of health that I want to mention after breathing, water, food, are sunlight, fresh air, exercise, activity, movement, all of the above, and sleep. Okay. Now, what I mean by fresh air, I mean getting outside and having a relationship, you know, with you know, the God created nature. You know, it's like everybody.
Getting out in nature.
Everybody feels better outside on a nice day than they do indoors.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an overstatement. There may be some exceptions to that where some people actually feel better indoors. But on a nice day, you know, people naturally are attracted outside. And so what I mean by fresh air is I mean having appreciation for being out in nature, you know, getting fresh air, you know, taking in, you know, the God created wonders of nature, you know, beautiful sky and, you know, all the different, you know, being out in the woods or in a forest or along a lake shore or along the ocean shore. I do believe that's all nourishment for us in some very, very important ways. Also, the very simple practice of grounding yourself, which is simply walking bare feet on the earth, especially along a lakeshore or an ocean shore. I saw Dr. McCullough interview a very successful, holistic-minded, nutritionally-minded cardiologist by the name of Dr. Steven Sinatra. A lot of your viewers, Eddie, may be familiar with that name if they are into natural medicine or checking out doctors that offer a more holistic approach to building health than what is found in the conventional mainstream. But Dr. Sinatra and Dr. McCullough were talking about different practices that can be good for circulatory health, and I found it very enjoyable to hear Dr. Sinatra actually seem to be most enthusiastic to recommend the act of grounding yourself by walking on wet sand along a lake shore or an ocean shore. And what that means, practically speaking, is that everything in our body runs electrochemically. Everything in our body runs electrochemically, especially in the brain and the nervous system. And we can actually experience a buildup of excess electrical activity induced by stress. Stress-induced excess electrical activity in our biology can be discharged, though, by simply putting your bare feet on wet sand along a lakeshore, an ocean shore. You could even just take some sand and throw some water at it. That may work as well.
What we do, but usually, you know what we do? We actually put our forehead on the ground. Beautiful. We pray five times a day.
Yeah. But, you know, you want to actually do that, of course, ideally right directly on the earth or because you want to actually come in touch or you want to make contact with the earth, so you give your body a chance.
That's how it was more back in the day when we didn't have the carpets and all the luxuries.
Right. Yeah.
People were actually getting more in contact with the earth.
Yeah. So the best place to do this is away from where there's likely to be any electrical power lines, you know. That's why doing it along a lake shore or an ocean shore is the most reliable way to do it. But, you know, you may be able to ground yourself very well on a really nice grassy area or even, you know, just a nice area of dirt. But it's something that is very much taken for granted about actually having a physical connection with the earth. This is actually very valuable for helping your body to discharge a stress-induced excess electrical activity. In fact, there was a practitioner at the Optimal Wellness Center, Jeff Meisner, who gave a lot of attention to this in his work with the patients who came there. That's part of what I call fresh air. You know, having appreciation for, you know, connecting with nature in a variety of different ways.
That's that lifestyle, those lifestyle adjustments. Right. And thank you very much. Thank you for being with us, Jim. Tell us if people would like to get a hold of you to learn more. Is there a website or a number or?
Well, I am currently not seeking any new people to do nutrition and health education with. But there is someone who's actually been on the Dean Show who has trained with me, who is...
So like one of your students?
Yes, yes. Yes, Miss Michelle Gillespie. And I've given out her contact information on a previous interview, but you could, on the webpage, when you post this show, we can put... Michelle Gillespie's contact information again for people who are looking for...
We'll get her website up there.
Yes, okay. Yes, yeah, for people who are looking for some specific guidance. I think she would be especially valuable for helping women and their children.
Yeah.
And, you know, helping people to better understand how to really... get the best quality, real food in their daily meal plan.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim Marlowe. Thank you for being with
Good
us
to see you
here.
Again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
You.